Back in 1965, still another mother cried as her son was sent off to a land called Charlie's Paradise. Billy was a soldier in the bush, he played for keeps. The enemy was all around, didn't Charlie ever sleep. Ordered up the hill one day to take it and make a stand. Billy never made it back, he was dealt with Charlie's hand. Maybe he's a lucky one, cause we still feel the pain of a thousand wounded players who took part in Charlie's game. He's one of a million unsung heroes whose story forever goes untold. He left his soul in numb, but his spirit still lives on. He's walking with us on the last patrol. He's walking with us on the last patrol.
The Last Patrol Radio Show is a program dedicated to my brothers and sisters who have and to those who are now serving America in the U.S. military, the police and security, firefighters and EMS. This is a veterans-to-veterans ministry. By God's grace, we're here to serve and to help bring the truth to you through the Word and the life of Jesus Christ. I'm Pastor Ted Marshall. I served as a dog man, that is a canine handler, in the U.S. Air Force Security Police in the Vietnam War. I know that the bond we as veterans have is very special, and we can talk to each other. This program is for you and your family. Let us ask for guidance from our Lord to inspire and to hear from Him on how much He loves you. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:7. The Last Patrol Radio Program is a Talk to Vets ministry, hosting guests from the Christian veterans community and the caring and loving people who bring information, loving gratitude for all of you who are our nation's finest treasure. Here in the home of the brave, you are the brave in that home. You and I have a lot to share on subjects we can learn from. Using the Perfect Operations Planning Manual, the POPM, also known as the Bible. Heart to heart, vet to vet, patriot to patriot, welcome home. The Last Patrol is about realizing that we have a mission that we're being called to. Each of us has a special place in this patrol. We have and are now continuing specialized training for this task and mission. This is a highly motivated and extremely skilled operations team with overpowering strength, courage, and leadership support. The air power as well, the universe knows none is awesome. The ground troops are all in the army of the Lord. We are God's warriors. Who can stand against us? Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding in all your ways. Acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. Proverbs 3:5-6. Walk with us on the Last Patrol. Hi, this is Pastor Ted Marshall with the Last Patrol Radio Show. Today we have a guest that's here in the studio. His name is Basil Matthews. He's a veteran. He's also a past chapter president in New York of the Christian Motorcyclist Association. We'll be talking to him shortly. Before that, we're going to be playing an audio that we got permission from the CMA. Now, don't get confused. This is not the Country Music Association. It's the Christian Motorcyclist Association. And he'll be using the acronym. So,
I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be assured of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.
Go into all the world. How is that possible? No person, no church, no organization can do that alone, and yet Jesus was very clear in this command. Only by working together, with each of us doing our part and contributing as we are able, will we complete the task. In CMA, we understand that we have to do our part. We're not a fundraising organization. The Run for the Sun is the only official fundraising effort we're involved in, and we give away more than we keep. None of the money raised is used to fund the day-to-day operating expenses of CMA or any other organization. CMA keeps 40%. Which we use to reach out to bikers and others throughout the United States and around the world. We go places where others don't or won't go. We reach out in service and look for opportunities to let our light shine. We strive to demonstrate the unconditional love of Christ. Every year, CMA members represent Christ to more than 2 million people, exposing more than 500,000 to the gospel message, with approximately 14,000 of those making the life-changing decision to accept Jesus as their personal Savior. 20% of the money raised is used to support the work of the Jesus Film Project. The Jesus Film has been translated into more than 1,500 languages and shown in more than 220 countries. Historically, for every dollar CMA invests in the Jesus Film, approximately 10 people see the film somewhere in the world, and at least one accepts Christ. Using these estimates, the support provided through Run for the Sun has allowed approximately 128 million people to view the film, with some 13 million of those making decisions for Christ. These decisions are a direct result of CMA's Run for the Sun. 20% of the total raised is used to support Missionary Ventures International, where CMA has placed more than 6,800 bicycles, 6,100 motorcycles, boats, horses, buggies, snowmobiles, and at least one camel to pastors working in more than 100 countries. Right now, there are more than 13,000 pastors, evangelists, teachers, and Christian leaders equipped with efficient transportation, doing their part to fulfill the Great Commission because of CMA's Run for the Sun. 20% goes to Open Doors, supporting their effort to promote the gospel in countries where being a Christian can get you locked up or killed. One of the greatest challenges to Christians living under tyranny and loss of religious freedom is isolation from God's Word and from the body of Christ. Through Open Doors, CMA supports and strengthens suffering believers by providing Bibles and gospel development resources, by supporting the advancement of women and children, and through Christian community restoration efforts. CMA's Run for the Sun is a place where you can invest and know that you'll be participating in something that will result in someone's life being changed. On the first Saturday in May, CMA members across the United States will participate in the Run for the Sun. You can touch someone somewhere in the world for Christ, but the choice is yours. Will you support CMA's Run for the Sun?
Basil, thank you for joining us here at the studio. And it's been a while to try to snag you and get you to come in here. Busy guy, you're commuting between New York and Florida. And I know a lot of things are going on. I just really appreciate that you're taking your time to give us a few minutes of your time and talk about your experiences. Folks, as a strong Christian man, Basil is a veteran, not only a military veteran, but also a police veteran. Tell us a little bit about how you wanted to get involved in the Motorcyclist Association, the Christian Motorcyclist Association.
Well, thanks for having me here today, Ted. The Bible tells us to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We want to do that, and I'm a motorcyclist, so I took the opportunity to ride my motorcycle and to preach that gospel when I was able to, and did that through the Christian Motorcyclist Association. I felt in my heart to get involved in this ministry. I made the necessary calls and paperwork and started a chapter in the Plattsburgh area of upstate New York. After a couple of months, we gained approximately 20 members. Studied the material that was required for the Christian Motorcycle Association, or CMA, and we eventually became chartered, and we served the Lord in that capacity. We met with many bikers, local motorcycle clubs, and ministered when we saw the opportunity. The Lord did open doors for us on many occasions. We prayed for people. We gave out tracts. We ministered. We led people to Christ. And that's what it's all about, the Great Commission. And doing that on a motorcycle was such a privilege.
These different motorcycle associations or motorcyclists that you come in touch with, some of the motorcycle groups are pretty rough guys. How's the approach there? First of all, I imagine because you're on a bike yourself, that's going to open a door. They'll listen to you. They'll talk to you. Is that approach useful for you, a cross-section of all the motorcycle groups that you may come in contact with?
Well, there's a brotherhood in motorcyclists anyway to start with. But when we go to these events, we meet various people, different club members, mm-hmm. And we build relationships. That's what it's all about, and that's how you actually are able to minister. You have to be accepted by them, at least to a degree, to where you could share testimony, hand out a tract, offer prayer. Everybody is needy at one point in their life, or many points in their life, actually. And these guys are just like anyone. Even though they're a club member, they wear a patch, they still have issues in life, and they are very open. Once they get to know us a little bit, they're very open to prayer and ministry.
As a former veteran, you have another unique thing that you can do, and that is approach the military veterans and also the folks that used to be police officers and be able to approach them and be able to speak their own language, be able to speak with them. And if they find out a little bit about you, that seems to open doors, not only open doors, but also kind of soothes the feathers. We're speaking the same language. As a veteran, you and I being veterans, being able to talk to each other, we have certain things that the outside world really doesn't understand about us, but we understand about each other. And we also understand, I think, we're finding Jesus Christ has an incredible ministry that he needs us to help him with. On earth, we have to do his bidding, but the most important thing that we have to understand that we, as brothers in arms, brothers in military, brothers out there for the Lord, if we hear that calling, we need to approach it. We need to go after it. We don't need to close our ears to it. When did you first get the calling that you needed to minister, that you needed to go talk to folks?
Well, 2009 is when we actually started the Adirondacks Forgiven Chapter in New York. It grew very rapidly. But going back to what you said about veterans, I try to wear some type of veteran patch or pin, and that does open doors, because a lot of your bikers, probably the majority of bikers today, in those clubs that we're referring to are veterans. Many of them are. And that does help open the door to speak to them and have them accept us as Christians more readily.
It's a battle out there. We have a lot of people that have a skewed view of motorcyclists. I think some of the work that we see locally here in Florida, that we see some of the things that they're doing out there to help people, toy runs, different things like this that they do to raise money. These big old bikers that people see riding down the road, as big as they are and as big as that bike is, they have the heart about the same size, I'm finding out.
I agree. There's many benefits, different organizations that they support, and they do motorcycle runs and rallies that they actually draw money for these organizations, support them that way. And we participate by paying our riding fee and take the ride and go to the barbecue after or whatever they may have. Yes, most of these guys are pretty squared away guys. I know they have the rough exterior.
Yeah.
But it's inside what we're looking for. We're trying to look more at the heart.
The motorcycle rallies and the events that you go to, there's some huge events out there. I know Daytona has a huge bike event. And you guys have a presence there? Does the Christian Motorcycle Association go to some of these larger events like this?
They do. They actually have a booth that they place in the vendors area, and they minister from that booth, and they walk around, and they look for that opportunity. But again, it's the Lord is the one that draws these people. We're there to minister as we're being led. That's where you're going to be the most effective.
Let's go back in history a little bit. Let's talk about, tell us about your military experience. Basil's one of the few guys that I know that probably made a wrong decision, and that was leave the Air Force to go to the Army, but I won't hold that against him. I mean, sometimes people make some wrong decisions, but we've always teased each other, both of us back and forth, about Army, Air Force, Marines. We have a friend that's a CB. We tease the Navy, but it is a brotherhood. It's a brotherhood of veterans. Tell us about your military background.
Well, I joined the service in 1972 during Vietnam. While I was in training, I was security police. You know, I'll call it security forces in the Air Force. The instructor came in and said, every one of you guys in this room were headed to Vietnam, but they just stopped sending soldiers and airmen over there. So I instead went to Thailand. And so I was in Southeast Asia for a year. I got my Agent Orange exposure on the perimeter of Utapau Air Force Base. I did 4 years with the Air Force in security. And I got out for a year. It was during a recession, and I decided I would go into the Army and try the military police. I did enjoy that also, and I did 4 years of military police, Army active duty, and then I stayed for the rest of my time in the National Guard. I did a total of 34 years.
That's outstanding. Now, the most important part of that whole military career that you and I have in common, besides Air Force Security Police, is canine. And there's not that many of us out there. And it's so great to have you here. And tell us about your canine experience.
I went to canine school in 1979 and deployed to Germany. I was there 18 months and worked a canine. I thoroughly enjoyed that. That was probably the highlight of my military career as far as enjoying a specific field.
Were you saved at that time?
No, I wasn't. I was in the world.
When did that come about?
1994.
Yeah.
Actually, I was 41 years old and I was out of service, and the Lord hit my heart with that conviction, and I knew that I had to make a choice that day. My parents, longtime Christians, I know they were praying for me, because I look back in my life and many different occurrences, hazardous situations that I was in, I always got out of them. I was always protected.
Yes.
And I realize now that God had a plan for my life.
After that period.
1994.
I'm sorry, 94, I'm sorry. When you were saved, what started leading you toward the chaplain part of it? As I know you were a chaplain for your chapter up north. When did that start coming? When did you really start getting into the Word? How did that transition happen? Was it gradual, or was it something that the Lord just said, hey, I need you to get more in the Word?
Well, actually, the Lord actually spoke to me.
I believe
in an audible voice. He said, study my Word. That was exactly what he said. I mean, it freaked me out, actually. The hair sat on the back of my neck. I was in the car driving, listening to some worship music and praying and just speaking to the Lord, and I asked him, what is I'm supposed to do? What do you want me to do? Mm-hmm. And I heard that voice, an audible voice, come to me. So that's what I did. I got involved in some correspondence Bible schools. Mm-hmm. I bought several different versions of Bibles, and I really got into the Word.
It is it's a calling, and when the Lord speaks to us, especially when he comes to the point where he wants us to get deeper in the Word and deepening in the understanding, he has a mission for us. He'll lead us to what that mission is, but he needs to prepare for us. He needs us to go through basic training again, his basic training. You have a dog now. His name is Major.
I do. He's 9 years old. His birthday is this month.
It's funny. When all canine handlers get together, the first thing they share is pictures of their dogs. and they talk about, if they currently have a dog, they talk about that dog now. And recently, we just did a presentation for a group of veterans down at Apollo Beach, and it was really fun to talk to him about dogs and talk to him about what the role has been. The special thing about dogs, they show us unconditional love. They show us that they'll do anything for us, up to even giving their life to protect us. Jesus Christ shows us unconditional love. He takes us through some hard times, and I know you've been through some. And after your tour in the military, tell us about your police career.
I worked, when I got out of the military, I worked for a couple of PDs in Vermont, small police department. I decided on a whim to take the New York State Police exam.
Mm-hmm.
Surprisingly, I passed it. I made the transfer, went through their basic academy, and from there I was stationed in Schoon Lake, New York, and then I moved north to Ellenburg, New York, worked there for several years, and finally became a firearms instructor. I ran the troop for the firearms section, 350 personnel that I took care of all their firearm business and records and ordered ammo and did all that.
Mm-hmm.
I did 20 years and retired, and now I'm a snowbird.
Living here in Florida, it's fun. We live in a retirement community here in Zephyr Hills, and our population almost doubles. It goes up 80%. When all the snowbirds come down. I love it because you get to meet people from all over the country. I'm a Florida boy, and but I've always enjoyed snowbirds coming down because they talked funny, and they had some neat-looking cars, and the license plates were interesting to look at. But it was always fun. Even as a kid, I can remember when the snowbirds would come down, and I would, and of course, they would kind of mock me. There's that little towhead kid that speaks very Southern. How y'all doing? I didn't think that they spoke funny. We spoke right. You know, we can say things like cement, and we can say the right things, and they keep coming down with these strange words. It helps us connect to people that are spreading all over the country. It gives us a chance. You guys spread all over the world now, what I understand.
That's correct. I believe there's 31 countries that CMA is located in.
I encourage anybody that wants to learn more about the Christian Motorcycle Association to go online and take a look at their websites and also to download the videos that they have. We just had a short audio that we played, but there's a longer one, and it kind of explains, and you can get a lot of information about the different areas that are available for wherever you live. There may be a chapter close to you. Just briefly, let's go back about New York, about your chapters there, and you wanted to explain that how many were there in New York? And
the 23 chapters in New York, as far as I know, maybe 22, 23. There's changes occasionally, they add or detract. I think there's 1,200 chapters nationwide, and there's been over 180,000 people that have come through the ranks. In fact, CMA is the largest evangelical organization in the world, and they've had over 180,000. Of course, we don't know the exact number because many of them passed on or have gone into other ministries, but that's how many people actually come through the ranks.
That's awesome. That's absolutely awesome. We left a little information out about your military career. Now, we stopped around. I'm going to let you pick it up.
Well, I stopped where I went into the National Guard.
Right.
I came back to the Air Force. And
you did smart enough.
Well, I'm not going to go that far. But I did. I went back to security forces for a couple of years, and then I went into combat arms training maintenance. I was a CATM instructor for a few years. And, of course, CATM, combat arms training maintenance, does a lot of shooting. They're firearms instructors. They compete, so I competed in the local Vermont State Adjutant General's matches. I had some pretty good scores. The Army had a really hot team. They were looking for new blood, so they recruited me. Seeing as I already had an MOS with the Army, they just flipped me over to the military police unit in Vermont. So my instructor said, or my team captain said, change your uniform. Get out of the Air Force uniform, put back on your Army uniform, you're good to go. I kept my rank last time and grade, obviously, but from there I stayed with this Sarge team for 14 years, and then my number came up to deploy to the Middle East. So I did a year in the desert, experiencing those wonderful heat waves of 130 to 145 degrees.
Yeah, we were talking about that yesterday. You said it was 125, 130 degrees at times, and the tents were air-conditioned, and how cool was it in the tent?
Our air-conditioned tent showed us 120, and we were very happy with that.
And you're thinking about moving to Arizona. You're thinking about looking at something out there.
It's a thought. I'd like to check it out.
We don't want the state of Florida to lose you, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's beautiful here.
Yeah. We also wanted to talk about a little bit about what they can do, folks that are out there that veterans that want to get together and be able to reach out to help folks, to reach out to the brother veterans out there. We've got some Christian warriors that are scattered all over the place and may feel that they're alone, that they need to get some help as far as how to reach out and do that mission. The Lord's going to show them what to do, but there's also some good organizations that are out there. Now, the Christian Motorcyclists Association is a great organization, very, very strong Christian beliefs. I think this is a place where those that are in the motorcycle world could really find some help not only in, but some spiritual help also, some spiritual help and some boost them and give them some strength. And what's important about that also is you've got the same type of guys around you that have this mission are going to carry you when you get a little bit sad or a little bit, you can talk to each other. There's not too many men in this world that you and I can talk to. There's not too many, I hate to say it, there's some pastors out there that we can talk to. God bless them. We love what they know. We know what they do. But when it gets down to what we've experienced in our life compared to what's going on in their life, it's hard for them to relate. And it's not their fault. It's not their fault. But we have something unique here. There's a group out there that needs help. We are losing about 30 veterans a day from suicide. It's over almost 150 to 200 that's going a week from suicide. And this isn't just the young guys. It's the older guys, too. Who are they going to listen to? They go to the Salvation Army. They go to someplace like this. They're going to feel alienated. They're not going to be able to communicate. That's what we, through Veterans Radio Ministry, what we're hoping that we can reach out there, that if people have to reach out to other veterans is a mission that we have to really concentrate on. We need to go to where veterans hang out. How do we find out where they hang out? Through the Motorcycle Associations. We said that a lot of veterans go to big events like that with the Motorcycle Associations. VFWs, American Legions, reunions, different things like this, veterans ceremonies. There's ways that we can reach out to them. And one of the things that I'm looking to do with our ministry is actually being able to go to some of these events and do live broadcast right there, or live, I guess we'd say live recordings, on-spot recordings. By reaching these different folks, by reaching, by going out there and into the field, into the field of battle, as you say, means that we have to fortify ourselves. We're going to have to, first of all, know that we have the Word of God with us, that we're strong, that we've studied, that we understand it. But also, we cannot be like a Pharisee and come off when we're speaking to our veteran buddies and new friends that we've meet. We cannot come off as, you know, I'm this and you're that, and I want you to come up to this level. Everybody has different levels of understanding. As a veteran, when we talk to other veterans, we tease each other mercilessly about whatever the MOS was, or military, you know, occupational, whatever we did. You know, we'll tease each other all mercilessly. But the thing is, it's all done in fun. It's all done in whatever we can do. One of the things that I've found is that when you talk to Marines, sometimes you need to speak real slow and so they can understand. I heard last week that the Marines' library burned down, that they had their library and museum, and both the coloring books were burned up.
Oh, Ted.
So we had had a situation where we were at a Marine party for the celebration of the Marines' 200 and some odd birthday that they had. And a bunch of us that were not Marines, we stood up and we had all the Marines stand up, and then we had them all lean against the wall, go back against the wall, and they thought that we were getting ready to fight. You know, as we pushed them all back to the wall, and then we took about four steps back and sang the Marine hymn to them. And those big old blubbery guys out there were just tears coming out of their face, and they were just so excited that we felt that much about them. Somebody's got to take care of them. Mm-hmm. Someone's got to take care of them. I know in my heart, and I know also in your heart, that we need to reach out. We can speak to our veteran buddies, and there's a lot of pain out there. And we discussed earlier, you came up with the number 22 that we were talking about earlier. It's about 22. We don't know where that number comes up or how accurate it is, but it's way too many. Many people are committing suicide. And it's not just the Vietnam vet, it's not just the, it's even the World War II veterans, even our Kuwait, right. Iraqi, Desert Storm. To be so desperate and not being able to reach out, there's only one thing that's going to save those folks. There's only one way that's going to save them, because they are going down that deep slope exactly where Satan wants them to go. Mm-hmm. He wants to kill, destroy, he wants them out, wants to take him out. We got to bring him to the light. We, as you and I have seen, a lot of veterans keep things inside. It's hard for them to talk. It's hard for them to relate. And there's things that they can't talk about, even to other vets sometimes, because they themselves are confused about it. How can we straighten them out? How can we? We can't, but who can is Jesus Christ by leading them there. But it's like walking through a field with landmines. Anything is going to set some of these guys off. Emotionally, they're wrecked. Spiritually, they're void. It's a real calling to be able to go through those minefields without that detector dog in front of us and be able to reach these guys and see the turnaround. You've saved some people. You have saved some veterans. You've had experience where you've talked to them and you've seen a change in their life. How can we reach out to do that? The Lord will lead us how to do it, but we have to do this. Let's talk about you and I. You, when we first met, I think the first thing I saw was that German Shepherd when you were walking down the street with him. And that's when we first started talking. Saw your dad. God rest his soul. He passed away recently. World War II veteran. My father's still a World War II veteran. He's still with us. And we're losing a lot of those guys.
I think the number is 600 to 700 a day.
Oh, my gosh.
So it won't be long. They'll be all gone.
Yeah. I'm so blessed to have my dad here, you know, with us still. I was really concerned about him because I had to ask him just about a year or so ago if he was saved. Oh, yeah, I believe in God. Oh, Dad, I need to ask you some questions. I led him to the Lord. I got him to accept Jesus Christ back then. Now, he's an old crusty Navy guy, a frogman. He's still set in his ways. 91, some, you know, those ways will really be hard to change, but I see a change in his heart.
Mm-hmm.
I see where he's a little more compassion is coming in, where he's open up and talking. Transition that comes over us as we change. This transition of the Lord making us a new man, a new person, a new giving, loving heart.
And it's a process.
Yes. Yes.
It's a process for many folks, years even, to see a substantial change, myself included.
Yeah.
What didn't happen overnight. As I got into the Word, as I studied, as I kept my prayer life up, then I saw the changes myself. Other people saw the changes and made a comment
mm-hmm.
that something's happened, you've changed. And I think it's awesome the work that God can do in a hard heart to soften that heart.
Have you come across any of your buddies that you served with that knew you then and see you now?
I've been spending too much time in Florida.
I have a few friends. We recently talked about a movie that we just saw recently together. Or that you had saw it, and I had saw it too. And it was about the three veterans who were, they were, one of them, they're all three Vietnam veterans, and they were going to bury one of them's son who was killed in Afghanistan. Was able to kind of relate to that in a way. Seeing one, seeing the dialogue between the three of them. I had a reunion a while back where I was able to find a couple of our guys that I served with, and it's when you look at them and you start talking to each other, it's like you never left. It's still it's just a day later, and you're carrying on the same type of communications with each other. You're still digging each other the same way, and when I mean digging, I mean razzing each other. And all those things happen. It's such a neat thing. For those that are listening, you may hear some pops and some different outside sounds. We're having some internal construction stuff going on in our home here, and here next to the studio room. So we'll try to edit some of it out, but this makes it more real. You know, it's just happening around us, and we don't mind it at all. The situation that we were talking about, as a pastor now, my guys that knew me way back when, there are a few of them, most of them, that just couldn't believe the change and what has happened. Tell me about an experience you just had, or we talked about earlier, about a guy that knew you. And
well, a good friend of mine, I was stationed in Walter Reed Army Medical Center as a military policeman.
Wow.
I met this gentleman there, and we went to canine school together
mm-hmm.
and served in Germany together in the late 80s. I'm sorry, late 70s, early 80s. And then we split for maybe 15 years, 20 years,
mm-hmm.
and reconnected. And I remember him telling me that he could not believe when I told him at one time that I had turned my life over to Christ and I was a Christian. He didn't believe it until we actually hung out and went on a motorcycle ride and spent some time together. And he told me later he was just amazed to see the massive change in me, which... thank God for that.
You bet. You bet. I was mentioning that a friend of mine was San Antonio Police Department, San Antonio, Texas. I don't want to mention any names, but he was very curious about the transition. What happened? What made me change? And what was going on? As a matter of fact, he brought up where he said, I want to come and talk to you. I want to discuss this transition. Curiosity. That's the Lord moving that we talked about. That's
right.
The Lord is setting the seeds out there. And these seeds are going to grow, and we just need, I hope we're around to help nourish these seeds.
Or somebody will.
Yeah,
God
somebody
will,
will.
God will bring somebody to do it.
Yeah, we can plant them, right?
Amen.
And the best seeds planted are those that have known us and seen that change, seen the change in our lives. We've all done some things where one of my friends says he's a recovering sinner.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that line. I said, sure, sure, I understand that. We have been led to Christ different ways, of course. I'd like to say that I thank my wife for leading me back, putting me back on the road. And that was quite a few years ago. And she herself has seen remarkable changes. She has seen changes. And if anyone went to ask her back when we were teaching scuba diving underwater that I'd be staying at a pulpit someplace or speaking on a radio show, Christ, she would have looked at them like they had two heads, like they're from Mars. It's unique.
Well, I wanted to mention that my wife was the secretary treasurer of our Christian Motorcyclists Association chapter in Plattsburgh for several years, and she was a prayer warrior. She actually gave us some insight as to what was going to happen when we went to some of the events that we had. And as she said, this is going to happen. God's shown me that certain things are going to go a certain way. Nothing really specific, but it actually turned out every time to be the way she said. God had opened doors. He had made peace. There was so much peace when we'd show up at an event. Some of the swearing would stop completely in many instances. And she's definitely a prayer warrior. My wife, Kim. I love her to death.
We have special prayers we'd like to send out for Kim right now. She's having some issues with her neck and shoulder, and the doctors are, she's having to try to find somebody or some doctors that might be able to help up there where she's back up in New York right now. And, you know, this is a Christian radio show, and we're going to pray right now. Lord, I'm asking for healing hands, and Lord, that you use whatever you need to use. If it's a doctor, if it's his hands guided by you, we ask for that to be expedient, Lord, because she's in pain and she's suffering. We ask, Lord, that you ease the pain, but not only ease the pain, but the anxiety and the anguish that pain brings. Chronic pain is something that not too many people really understand unless they have it. And once they have it, it's always there. But we're asking, Lord, for your mighty hands to lay on her and her, that heal that hurting area, and to also give her peace inside of what is going on. To not to worry, trust in the Lord. He's got a plan. We will follow it, and He will heal. Would you like to say anything? Amen. We can both say that together. 1, 2, 3. Amen.
It's in God's hands, and I really feel that He's going to be touching her. It's in God's timing, and she will be fine. But thank you for the prayer.
You're more than welcome. I really think she needs to come down here to Florida where it's nice and warm.
I'll give her a call. There's a flight this week.
Hey. We know the way to the airport.
That's true.
You know, before we go, we've only got about 10 minutes left to talk. It goes by quick. It goes by quick. But we may play some music. I've got a song that I think that you would really like to hear.
Okay.
Reverend John Steer is a Vietnam veteran. He was wounded. He laid in a heap with bodies on top of him for 3 days and was found. Went through a whole lot and ended up becoming a pastor, ended up becoming a reverend, has a remarkable singing voice. And he's one of the guys that comes to this reunion in Melbourne, Florida each year, which is the largest veterans reunion in the country. And I invite everybody to take a look at it. It's Vietnam and All Veterans Reunion becoming up in April. Get a chance to go and come on down and take a look at it. But we're going to stand by, and I'd like for you to listen to Reverend John Steer.
On the wings of a snow-white dove, He sends His pure, sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove. When trouble surrounds us, when evil comes, the body grows weak, the spirit grows numb. When these things beset us, He doesn't forget us. He sends down His love on the wings of a dove. On the wings of a snow-white dove, He sends His pure, sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove. When Noah had drifted on the flood's many days, he searched for land in various ways. Troubles we had some, but he's not forgotten. He sent down his love on the wings of a dove. On the wings of a snow-white dove, he sends his pure, sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove, on the wings of a dove.
Of course, that was Reverend John Steer, and we really appreciate that. Him and his wife have given us permission to use any of his music for our radio show, for music that we can broadcast. We also have another agreement with a couple other artists that are absolutely fantastic. We got Brett Small, who's another Vietnam veteran. That's why we're just so pleased. I encourage anybody that's out there that has music or a veteran and has some great music they'd like to send to us, please. We would like to play it in our show at some time. Let's talk about we're going to wrap this up. Let's talk about the Christian Motorcyclist Association. It has some mottos that they go by and standards that they want people to know.
Well, their basic vision is changing the world one heart at a time. And that's to say that we just don't rush it. We don't need to speak in big groups and preach. It's one-on-one relationships, looking for that guidance from the Lord to bring people to Christ, speaking the right words as He gives them to us. And again, in order to speak those right words, mm-hmm. we have to have them in our heart.
Yeah.
We have to know the word of God. But we hand out, again, we hand out tracts, we pray for people when it's needed, and just praying for someone opens the door to share the gospel, even if they've never really heard it. I know there's a God out there, and maybe I get lucky, and He'll touch me or take care of my problem. Well, when we pray for people, and I've always encouraged people to do this as a president, when I was the president of that chapter, to seize the opportunity to lay hands on someone's shoulder and just pray for them, whatever their needs are, and mention, God really loves you. God, we know you love this individual. We love Mr. Smith with an ever-ending love, an eternal love, and you want this person to get to know you better. Touch his needs. Let him get to know you better and even look into the world. The word, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Your word tells us in the book of Romans, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Basil, our time is running short, and I want to thank you again for spending time and going through this effort with us. I know it's the first time that you've done a radio show with us, and we just hope that you'll come back, because we have a lot of things that we can talk about, especially when it comes to the Lord. Thank you so much, Basil.
Thank you, Ted. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, pleasure. You're rolling your eyes.
No, seriously.
This has been just a real blessing. I know there's some good men out there deep down inside that they need to be reached. They need to be saved. That's what we're here. That's what this is all about. Folks, the Last Patrol Radio Show is a presentation of VRM, which is Veterans Radio Ministry. This is a ministry of Great Hope Christian Fellowship Church in Tampa, Florida. And also, you can go to our website, which is veteransradioministry.com, and you can take a look at some of the shows that we've done in the past. And I ask you folks that if you'd like to, download the shows, put them on your devices, send them out to your friends. No charge. You have my permission. Send them anywhere you want to like worldwide. We're also broadcast on Omega Radio Network and syndicated through other radio networks. And this radio ministry is reaching worldwide. And it's all because Jesus Christ's hand is in it. He needs the message to get out, and he can use and do whatever he wants. And we're just so pleased that the Lord has blessed us to be able to serve him. Once again, we thank you for listening to the Last Patrol Radio Show, and we'll talk to you soon. We got some upcoming shows I think you're going to enjoy. We got some people that are doing some wonderful things out there for veterans, and we got some people that are amazing. One of the things we'll be talking about in the future is a veterans program here in Tampa, Florida, which is the first. It is a veterans court. This is where a judge and the local county court has got together, and they've got a special court that if a veteran's in trouble or is in trouble, they bring him to this court away from everything else, and they try to find solutions instead of incarcerations. It's given veterans a break, which a lot of them need because they haven't had too many. Thanks again for listening to the Last Patrol Radio Show, and we'll talk to you soon.
Come and listen in to the radio station where the mighty hosts of heaven sing. Turn your radio on, turn your radio on. If you want to hear the songs of Zion coming from the land of endless spring, get in touch with God, turn your radio on, turn your radio on, and listen to the music in the air.
Hi, this is Pastor Ted Marshall. We're just giving you a couple updates and heads up on some information on some new shows that will be coming up. So we'll be going live and doing some live recordings at the Vietnam and All Veterans of Brevard, Florida's 31st annual Vietnam and All Veterans Reunion. This is the nation's largest reunion. It's sponsored by the Vietnam and All Veterans of Florida, and it's on April 19th through April 22nd. Come visit the Traveling Wall. We'll be there. Also, live music, food and drinks, military vendors, military displays, POW and MIA ceremonies, the Last Patrol, and the Moving Tribute Wall. This will be at Wickham Park in Melbourne, Florida. And Wickham Park, you take I-95 to exit 191, our old exit 73. Now, Wickham Park is also a wonderful campground area. You may be able to get some reservations if there have been some cancellations. But if you'd like to get some information about this, stand by to write down some phone numbers. If you want to call for information, you can go to 321-408-2698. Again, that 321-408-2698. Or you can go to 321-652-3600.
321-652-4185. Once again, that other number is 321-652-4185. If you want to be a vendor at the event, they may have some space available for you there. You can call this number for vendors is 321-652-4185. Now, the Vietnam Veterans Reunion, as I said, is the largest one in the nation. I've been attending that event for over 25 years, and I've seen it grow and grow and grow. And this is the one that you got to come to. We first started, when it first started, the last patrol was there, and we did our special last patrol performance there. And we hope you get a chance to see that. Now, if you haven't heard of the last patrol performance, the last patrol, it's dedicated to honor and remember all of our brothers and sisters who sacrificed so much protecting our country. It provides a sober, realistic, moving remembrance and reenactment of an actual mission in the Vietnam War. It's to educate and to relive a moment of history so that we will never forget. If you'd like to have more information about having the last patrol come and perform at your special event, you can call David Valdez, who's the coordinator, and you can reach David Valdez, are you ready, copy a phone number, at 727-822-7147. You can also email David at davalderz7up@outlook.com. Once again, let me try that again. That's David, DAVALDEZ, 7, that's the letter, number 7, UP, up, at outlook.com. You can reach David there or call him at that phone number, and he'll be happy to see what they've got available. Last patrol, looks like we're already off to a busy start. Just in the month of March, we've got two last patrol performances we're going to be doing. March 24th, we'll be at the Veterans Museum in Tampa, Veterans Park, and for the Welcome Home Vietnam Veterans Ceremony there. And the event starts at 10 o'clock. And also we'll be in Lehigh Acres at the Lehigh Acres VFW post down there the following Saturday. So if you get a chance, come down, and if you're in that area, come and visit and see the last patrol. We're really excited about some of the shows that we've got lined up and some of the folks we're going to be talking to that we're getting ready to produce some new shows, some new interviews. We're going to be talking to Jim Saladio, who's a sergeant, Mr. Sergeant with the United States Air Force, and is operating, directing, working with Judge Michael J. Kelatani. And this is for a very interesting program that we're going to be having with them. And this is on the program that they have on the Veterans Justice Program. Interesting information there. Also, a friend of mine that I've known for quite a few years, John C. Burnham, who's just completed his third book, and this one's called Canine Warrior. And he also, John's going to tell us the story about how the National Memorial and National Monument for Military Working Dogs, how he was able to get that put together and funded and constructed at San Antonio, Texas, at Lackland Air Force Base. That's where all the military canine training is done now. They have a great interview with him. He's given me a couple of his new books, and I'm going to read those over and make sure I've got all the information I can, so when we talk to him, we have a lot of neat things we can talk to him about. Also, we're going to be talking to Dwight Bell, and he's with Wings of Grace Ministries, and Angela Bell, who also has a music ministry, Wings of Grace. And this is a special organization that teaches people how to fly. It takes the young students and brings them up all the way to help them get their pilot license, taking kids that are at risk, giving them an opportunity to really strive and do something. This is a great organization. I don't want to give it all away, but you need to talk. You need to listen in when that show happens. Also, of course, we'll be talking to our regulars. We'll be talking to Don Huddle, who's our top guy that we go to for intel information of what's happening in military. And Don is, of course, my best friend and who I served in the Vietnam War with. And he was a former sheriff and lieutenant and a sheriff up in Lake County, Indiana. And tremendous, tremendous insight of what's going on. This guy keeps his ear to the door, that's for sure. And, of course, we're going to have Aaron Bergman back on, Aaron Bergman is our political science, I could say. He is our political a go-to guy when it comes to having an ear to the ground of what's going on in politics. Aaron is always welcome. He brings some unique insight and really in-depth insight of what's going on with that. So we've got some great shows lined up coming up. We've got some exciting new things that we're going to be doing also. We're going to be working and doing a live radio show, old time. We're looking, we're trying to formulate how we're going to do this now. We'll be probably using the facilities at Trinity Church and Wesley Chapel. They got a nice facility that we could do a live audience, a radio show from. And we'll be filling in with the details as that comes up. We want to thank you again for listening to The Last Patrol. If you get this on your device and if you get it from our website, remember, you can go to our website, and that is, of course, very simple, veteransradioministry.com. All one word, veteransradioministry.com. Go to that. You can download our shows for free, and we ask you if you would like to just send them out to everybody. Send them out to your friends. We want to also thank you for your support. Once again, this is Pastor Ted Marshall with The Last Patrol and the Veterans Radio Ministry, and a lot of exciting things will be coming up, and we're looking for a really blessed and God-guided new year. Hi, this is Pastor Ted Marshall. Thank you for listening to The Last Patrol Radio Show. The Last Patrol Radio Show is a production of Veterans Radio Ministries. Veterans Radio Ministries is a ministry of Great Hope Christian Fellowship Church in Tampa, Florida. You can reach us by going to veteransradioministries.com. Again, that's veteransradioministries.com. If you'd like to contact us, please do so. Thank you for supporting and thank you for listening to The Last Patrol Radio Show. Tell your friends about it. Email your friends about it. Text them. Twitter, tweet, whatever you do, but spread the word of Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening to The Last Patrol.
We were proud to call him brother. We were proud of what he'd done. Would it have been any different if America had won? Not too late to thank him or tell him that you miss him. You can tell him that you love him. Touch his name upon the wall. One of a million unsung heroes, the story forever goes untold. Left his soul in numb, but it's still